Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, and it's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about our ability not to just end in prayer, but to move to action. And about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61:1-4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many, many generations. I want to start today by some of the things going on in the news that are, they're coming in literally as I'm talking to you right now. And I've got to kind of wade through a couple of the things that are here. So just bear with me for a second. I'm going to start with what I know happening right now, and we'll go into a little bit more here as I get it. We're going to start with your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. First and foremost, and this is absolutely critical right now to understand, that is happening in the border region of Ukraine. There are two articles. The first is from what's called thedrive.com. They really kind of monitor a lot of different things happening in the world regarding conflicts. Russian armor floods toward the border with Ukraine amid fears of an imminent crisis. A flurry of alarming reports and social media posts indicate that Russia is pouring military hardware into the Crimea and its border with eastern Ukraine. There's pictures of Soviet tanks, or I'm sorry, Russian tanks. Maybe that's prophetic. I don't know. Russian tanks on train cars. But it's not just Russian tanks. It is large amounts of Russian military hardware, including heavily armored vehicles, heavy artillery. They're also, I'm getting reports in right now via text message. It also appears that planes are being scrambled as well. And I'm pulling this up as we're talking. And it looks like this is all centering around, once again, the Donbas region, Donetsk, which is right near Mariupol, Ukraine. I'm pulling up a couple more things here as well. The Russian foreign minister has come out, today and said, this was earlier today, Sergei Lavrov has come out and warned Ukraine against being pushed from the outside to launch a hot phase of the Donbas conflict, claiming the move threatens to destroy the country and that Ukraine, quote, could be destroyed in case of a Donbas escalation. This is a quote from Lavrov, those who will try to start a new war in Donbas will destroy Ukraine, end quote. This was according to Lavrov on an interview with Channel One. And again, this is international, so don't think Channel 1 like here in the United States, because it's international. Quote, according to the information published in the media, most of the military understand the perniciousness of any action to launch a hot conflict I very much hope they will not be incited by politicians, who in turn will be incited by the West, led by the United States, end quote, said Lavrov. All right, so what the Russians are implying and inferring is that the pretender and his administration are trying to gin up a conflict on the border with Ukraine. But I am looking at real-time footage from Russian trains full. I mean, these are full of heavy artillery and tanks and heavy armored vehicles headed directly toward that region. All right. Also got a couple of things here. Okay. Warships and increased activity of planes also in that area and region. And that is coming from a Russian state-controlled media site that we've had translated. Okay, so it looks like it is really heating up right now in that area of the world. And right on the heels of this, we are seeing a massive cyber attack right now inside the United States. I'm going to put out what I have right now. This is a very large cyber attack. This has been confirmed by one of our cyber security consultants as well, as actually happening. It appears that almost all of Fidelity is down now, and looks like this is a widespread data outage. Microsoft is reporting, apparently there's reports are showing several thousand outages in the last 30 minutes, and this was 30 minutes ago, for Microsoft online resources as well. This comes on the heels of a warning I received a couple of days ago that was very clear that the amount of cyber attacks that have and are continuing to happen here in the United States of America has gone from, you know, maybe one every so many months to some every so many weeks, and now it's almost every single day that there is a massive cyber attack on the United States and some of our critical infrastructure. Much of it has been focused at Microsoft, by the way. I am pulling up a couple of other things right now as we speak, just to check a couple of other sites here, like Debcafile, just to make sure there's nothing that I have missed with this. In fact, Debcafile isn't even talking about that, which is fascinating to me. So we're going to continue to monitor what is happening right now with the cyber attacks real time here in the United States, and what is happening with this buildup near Ukraine. Wow. In addition to that, today, I'm going to shift now to the national front. And this is coming to us from several sources. I'm going to start with a breaking video from Project Veritas, which shows the existence of makeshift migrant detention facilities under a bridge in McAllen, a border town in Texas. The video shows migrants, including children, living outdoors in an open-air holding facility where they are separated by makeshift fences. The migrants can be seen sleeping on the dirt with space blankets for warmth. And coming to us from InfoWars is kind of a commentary on that. It says the Biden administration using federal government to run massive human trafficking operation. Ostensibly, it looks like they're referring to the fact that trafficking has massively increased because the cartels are using this situation with a weak pretender hole up in the White House to continue not only running human beings but drugs as well. It's just incredible. And we all saw this coming. Coming to us from The New American, the Pentagon has abolished Trump's transgender ban. The military is never a place for social experiment, ever. Gender in 99.99% of the cases is determined by the presence or absence of a Y chromosome. That is biological fact. And I actually helped to define what a man was when what a woman is. Years and years ago, when some prescient attorneys actually saw this coming, they asked me to define it. So I did a whole bunch of research on it. And that's what we can positively say in one sentence, is that gender is determined biologically in 99.99% of the cases by the presence or absence of a Y chromosome. So, and we're going to get into more coming up soon with Del Bigtree. He's going to be on the show today from the Informed Consent Action Network. And we're going to talk about what is in the offing here with the pretender and the plans for the near future. So, you know, if you have friends or family, let them know that Del Bigtree is coming on here very, very shortly. Okay, I want to continue now with the rest of what is happening here in the United States, as if that's not enough, by the way. Just incredible. Okay, so let's start with the Great Reset. This coming to us from The New American, Alex Newman, writing about this. I have heard almost nobody talking about this. But we have previously discussed how the special drawing rights were being set up to become a one-world currency. It's a basket of currencies, so not one country has control. A basket of currencies, and they were going to try to set it up as a one-world currency using cryptocurrency technology, then ban all the other cryptocurrencies. Well, earlier this week, I talked about how the fact that they were going to be banning Bitcoin, that they were moving toward that. They have been talking about that publicly. Now we have this Great Reset, the IMF, to redistribute U.S. wealth via a proto-global currency. What does that mean? Well, the International Monetary Fund, with the pretender, is preparing to issue $1 trillion worth of new special drawing rights, paving the way to replace the U.S. dollar with as a global reserve currency with these SDRs. So check this out online. Now, this ties into what we're going to be talking about later in the show with the vaccine passports. All of this is together. These are all control mechanisms coming together. And they're moving, actually. I mean, they're moving fast with this stuff. They really are. So I want to highlight a couple of other things that have flown under the radar. First of all, Antifa is coming to us from Western Journal. A heavily armed Antifa mob attacked a pro-veteran demonstration in Oregon outside of Salem. Some people were injured. It's just horrific, horrific, horrific. That coming on the heels of a report. And there are several places that have reported this, Epoch Times and GellerReport.com. Unrestricted warfare. Okay, so the Chinese basically said at a speech in 2016 that their plan to defeat the United States included three things. Now, there's more that it included, but I want to highlight three things. First, manipulating U.S. elections. Second, trying to take over the biotech industry as a front for creating a genetic weapon, a genetically based weapon that would attack specific ethnicities of people, but leave, of course, the Han Chinese alone. Third, the Chinese were setting out to undermine the United States by fomenting unrest in this country through organizations like Black Lives Matter and Antifa. So we have now three documents: unrestricted warfare by two Chinese colonels, General Qi's speech, and this, that very clearly all point in one direction. And so if we don't take this stuff seriously, I mean, they're going to keep going with this. They're going to keep going with this. All right. And this is at the same time where you have a jihadi in Boulder killing 10 people, allegedly. And Understanding the Threat laid this out very well. This jihadist network in America is completely unchecked. This is team reality. And what's happening is the Marxist and progressives like Indivisible in Spokane, I mean, they're team fantasy right now, total fantasy. They lie, they make stuff up, constantly lying about things. I mean, constantly. And they are intentionally creating this alternative reality because that's what communism does. That's based on what's called the Hegelian dialectic or dialectical materialism. They have to create this alternative reality so they can seize power. This has been historically documented. No one of any intellect will refute this. So we're seeing the Chinese move forward in America, and very few people are doing anything about it. Very few. All right, so this is going to bring up the next thing, which if you get the chance, you've got to see this for yourselves. And then we're going to end on something very positive. So this is horrendous. So buckle your seatbelts here. If you have children in the room, I would probably take them out of the room right now. I'm sorry to have to ask you to do that, but I would strongly urge you to do that right now. There's not going to be any swearing or anything. It's just the material is very graphic. Very graphic. All right. It's coming to us from the Washington Times. Satanists sue for the religious right to ritual abortions. I'm going to say that again. Satanists sue for the religious right to ritual abortions. The Satanic Temple of Texas has filed suit to defend its religious right to child sacrifice. Folks, if this is not in your face enough, for years, I have warned people about this stuff. For years, I have talked about this stuff. And here it is in black and white in a court of law. Are you, and we need to ask our liberal friends this. Are you awake yet? And do you agree with this? Because your vote is bringing people into power that countenance this kind of stuff. It's a serious question we need to ask our liberal friends. Is this okay? The blood of the innocents is crying out, is this okay? And now, child sacrifice, which we've read about in scripture, Topheth, and the Valley of Hinnom. We've read about these places, but now it's in America, in our face, for real. Nobody can dispute this. Indisputable. Is this okay? Every single person should be asked that question that is in power right now. Democrat, Republican, I don't care. Because if this continues, God's very clear in the scripture about what happens. And as for me and my house, we follow the Lord. That's why we come against abortion and this natural progression of suing to protect a religious right to child sacrifice. Unbelievable. You can read it on the Washington Times for yourself. I've also posted it across all of my social media platforms. This is just horrendous. All right. And I'm sure many of you are as outraged as I am. All right, we're going to talk today, too, about with Dell Bigtree, we're going to talk about vaccines and some of the things that are happening with them. There's just a lot on that part of it, so I'm going to just wait till we get to Dell Bigtree. But I do want to end on something positive, okay? We celebrate Resurrection Day this Sunday. And it's important to understand that Jesus Christ came as the Passover lamb to be sacrificed. Now, when they did Passover, we would call it Good Friday, but really the Jewish day is different. It would start at sunset on Thursday and at sunset on Friday. The Passover lamb sacrificed himself for us. And as part of the Passover ritual, they would slaughter the lamb, then they put blood over the doorpost. So on the two sides of the door and then on the doorpost, it forms a cross, by the way, which is fascinating. And people would pass under the blood and God's judgment would pass over the house. Some of you may have never even heard that before, but that's what this symbolized. Jesus Christ, out of all of the other religions in the world, is the only one who died for his people instead of the other way around. He came so that we could receive what he had already finished. By grace through faith. We didn't have to work for it. He did it. We had to make the choice to receive him. And so this Resurrection Sunday, please make sure to take time with your families. I recommend reading Luke 22, 23, and 24. If you have time, you can kind of read parallel passages with that. But I just kind of recommend everybody read those and then continue on with the rest if you have time. But read the story. Don't just read part of this. Read the whole story of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And pass it to your kids, because part of Passover, part of the ceremony of Passover, called the Majid, I believe, or Masid, that's how you say it, they would actually tell the story of Passover. They would tell the story about how Christ died and how he was risen up from the dead. Now, this was Christians, but prior to that, the Jews would tell the story of Passover, how Yahweh delivered them from captivity into a land flowing with milk and honey, from slavery with tears into freedom. And part of the ceremony not only is telling the story to people, but particularly telling the story to kids. And I love this cup of freedom talks about how sometimes the struggle for freedom starts with suffering. I just found that absolutely fascinating. And does that not apply to our country today in America? Sometimes the struggle for freedom starts with suffering. But ultimately, there is freedom. And Christ, when he died as our Passover lamb, covered us in his blood, made us white as snow, the judgment passes over us. And then he leads us into his promised land, to his kingdom, with us. He partners with us. And I've run into this a lot lately where people say, well, why do I have to pray? Why should I store up food if Jesus is going to take care of everything? And this misses the whole idea of partnership, that he co-labors with us. that we have inherited his kingdom with him. And so because we're in a partnership, that's why he wants to do these things with us. He wants to go to work with us. He wants to go to church with us. He wants to worship, and be involved in every part of that with us. That's why we talk. When you work with someone, just doing manual labor, you talk with them. And so I want everybody to capture this picture of Jesus Christ. And if you get the chance, The Chosen is going to premiere season 2 this weekend. The official trailer's online. I posted it up on the social media sites. Check out The Chosen if you have not watched it. It is absolutely fantastic as a depiction of Christ is concerned, and also with the Jewish traditions in the background. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody who has been praying for us and everybody who has been just supporting us through all of the things that they tried to do. And now we're bringing the truth across the United States of America. I love it. If you miss the show, you can always go to Patriot Radio on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. And also, we are rebroadcast every night at 9 p.m. that we are broadcasting live, so Tuesday and Thursday, across the entire ACN network, Eastern Washington, North Idaho, and Northeast Oregon. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Happy Resurrection Sunday. All right. It is my pleasure to introduce to you my guest today, Del Bigtree of Informed Consent Action Network. Del, it is great to have you back on the show. How are you doing, and how's the fight going?
You know, I'm doing great, and, you know, we're in the fight of our lives. I mean, I think freedom, liberty is under siege. We're talking about being injected with products we have no control over, but because of that oppression, because of this insanity, I think more and more people are waking up to the reality that maybe they need to engage a little bit more if they want to hold on to the freedom that we adore.
Amen. And I want to start with a couple of things. Just if you could, can you bring everybody up to speed on this? I call it a gene therapy because it really is not a vaccine. Can you bring us up to speed on where this is headed and what the death toll is so far that could potentially be related to this?
Well, so let's start right there. We have one reporting system called VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. That's our sort of government system where if you've been injured by a vaccine, then you can report that injury. It's really underreported. Most people don't know it exists. Doctors don't know it exists. Nobody really uses it. But even under those circumstances, with these COVID vaccines, there's already over 2,000 reports of death from the vaccine. You know, thousands and thousands of cases, like emergency room visits, Bell's palsy, anaphylaxis, but death. I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, I don't know where people's heads are. Maybe they think, oh, well, that's just 2,000 people. But try to imagine any product that's ever been sold in the United States of America, whether it was a crib or a car seat or maybe a gallon of milk or raspberries or something that you see a recall. We've never seen any product that has 2,000 reported deaths. And not only is it not being sued, it's being promoted by the president of the United States of America. So we're in an incredibly strange time. If we want to talk about the vaccines themselves, the simplest way to put it is these are products that don't have FDA approval. They haven't been approved by the FDA. They haven't been licensed. And I'm sure there's people in the audience saying, well, what do you mean? I mean, the FDA has said it's okay. That's not true. What the FDA has given it is an emergency use authorization. This is equivalent to a right to try, meaning we have no responsibility. We don't know if the product is safe. But if you're dying from cancer, this has been something that we've debated in America for a long time. It used to be that every drug has to go through years and years of safety trials, where one group is getting, let's say, a cancer drug, and the other group is getting a placebo. It's called the double-blind placebo study. We all learned about it in high school. Well, those trials last 3 years, 5 years, sometimes 10 years. Grandpa's Viagra had a 10-year safety trial where one group got the drug and the other group got a sugar pill that's painted just like the drug. If it's an injectable, then the placebo group's getting injected saline, so a placebo that does nothing to your body. Well, none of those things, I mean, when we warp speed of this vaccine, you can warp speed a brand new technology, which is what's happened. But you can't warp speed a multi-year safety trial. There's nothing you can do that can determine the long-term effects of a product other than watch them for several years. So in this case, they're treating it as though you're dying of cancer, and we've decided that since you're going to die anyway, what difference does it make if you want to try a drug that's in the middle of its safety trial? That's essentially what's happened here. The only difference is you're not dying from COVID. Almost nobody is. It has a, right now in the United States of America, coronavirus is about, there's roughly 25 million people that are known to be infected, like proven to be infected. Of the 25 million people, 99.6% are described as having mild symptoms, a cough or sniffles. That's it. Only 0.4% around the entire world of everyone that's infected would describe it as serious or critical. So not even that 0.4%, we're talking less than a half of 1% are facing the possibility of dying. And who are those people? You know, I'm trying to reach out to, if you do not have cancer and heart disease, and I mean and heart disease, not just heart disease or not just cancer. In America, 96% of the deaths in America had at least 2.5 other life-threatening illnesses. So they didn't just have cancer, they had cancer and heart disease and diabetes or COPD. They're over the age of 65 and even more specifically over the age of 80 with these illnesses. So even healthy over the age of 65, healthy over the age of 80, they're not dying. Only the sickest among us is dying from coronavirus. Doesn't mean that their lives don't matter, but the truth is they've always been dying of the flu. They've always been dying of coronavirus and rhinovirus. We're just focused on it now. And so for 99.6% of us, and frankly, if you're in the healthy group, like 99.99% of us, there's no risk of dying from this virus, yet we're taking an experimental product as though we're in fourth stage cancer. And that's the insanity of what's going on. And so what are the risks of the vaccine? You know, what would we be concerned about? Well, for the work that I've done with my nonprofit, the Informed Consent Action Network, and what I report on my weekly talk show, thehighwire.com, our biggest concern was what we saw in every single animal trial with this vaccine. Every animal trial for the last 20 years, and what you have to think about is since SARS coronavirus and then MERS, you know, came out, so SARS and MERS, drug companies decided, you know what, a vaccine for coronavirus might be a really good idea. So there's been many, many drug companies attempting to make a coronavirus vaccine for the last 20 years. And so they, whether it was an adenovirus vector vaccine like Johnson & Johnson or AstraZeneca, or an mRNA technology like Pfizer or Moderna, all these different approaches. And there's some that are just old school attenuated virus vaccines. But no matter what the approach, every time they would go into animal trials, something crazy would happen. They would inject the animals with the vaccine. It appeared to be safe because the animals didn't die upon injection. Then they would draw blood and see, are they creating antibodies? Are they having a high antibody production, you know, where they could see, oh, look, it looks like they're going to be able to block coronavirus. And they did. Very successful. But animal trials go one step further than human trials. It's called a challenge study, where they actually inject the virus into the animals. You can imagine for ethical reasons we don't do this in human trials. But they injected the animals with coronavirus, and something happened. Every time, instead of the antibodies protecting the animals, it seemed that the antibodies seemed to latch onto the virus either hide it but somehow helped it into the cells, proliferated through the cells, and caused what's called a cytokine storm, meaning it advanced through the cells so quickly in the animals that the immune system went into like a nuclear meltdown. The animals couldn't breathe. There was organ failure, and many of them died. In one cat study of a coronavirus vaccine, all of the cats in the study died, not from getting the injection, but later when they came in contact with the virus. And what they learned was it's something they call antibody-dependent enhancement. It's also referenced as immune enhancement or pathogenic priming. And somehow what it means is the vaccine acts like a catalyst to help the virus kill the animals. If this happened once, okay, maybe it's an anomaly. But when it happened, no matter how they approached this vaccine, that was the result they were getting in animal trials. So then you think about warp speeding the vaccine. It was warp speeding out of a failure in all the animal trials and a failure that was getting animals killed. And suddenly we pour billions of dollars. We accelerate it into the human population. And then in the safety trials, that should have lasted years to see, are we going to have the same problem where people that get vaccinated walking down the street might come in contact with the coronavirus, and instead of having a 99.99% survival rate, suddenly they're dying at 20% or 50%. I mean, who knows? This is what safety trials are for. None of these vaccine companies ran a safety study long enough to be able to determine if they had overcome this immune enhancement issue. None of them. And they say it in the FDA emergency use authorization, that right to try authorization. Even the FDA admits in the paperwork, this drug company was unable to prove that the vaccine will not cause immune enhancement. It could happen, and more studies need to be done in the future.
Right. Well, I think that brings up one other part of this I'd like you to comment on, and that is that, as I understand it, animal reproductive toxicity studies have not been completed, and what we're seeing in the United Kingdom is a 366% rise of miscarriages after taking COVID-19 as well, this gene therapy.
Right. And now enter the world-renowned scientists that are starting to speak out. Now you're stepping into... There's a Dr. Michael Yeadon, who was a vice president of Pfizer. Remember, one of these vaccines is the Pfizer vaccine. Now, he's retired, but he's a world-renowned scientist that rose, you know, went up through being a head scientist, vaccine developer, into a vice president position. He came out just a few months ago and said it appears to him that this vaccine has every potential to attack the placenta. That it's going to attack the placenta in women. And, you know, not to get too deep into the science, but the DNA structure, the DNA code of the spike protein, which is at the center of this coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, that's in all of the vaccines, what he recognized is that the outer layer of the placenta, called the syncytin, has almost an identical genetic code, the same letters. However you want to look at that, it looks like almost the same DNA strand. And his concern is that if you vaccinate to create antibodies that will attack that spike protein when they see it, that it's going to attack every woman as she's trying to develop a placenta. Now, you're right. We have anecdotal evidence that there are miscarriages. There's miscarriages on that VAERS report in America. We're getting reports of immediate bleeding in women right after receiving the vaccine. Now, look, it's all anecdotal. They'll tell you it's anecdotal, but here's the problem with how our system works. Who does the investigation into all the women that say, I just miscarried, I just lost my baby, I started bleeding right after I got the vaccine? The company itself. Pfizer itself will go in and do a study, and they keep coming out every time with the thousands of deaths, with the blood clots with AstraZeneca, all of these things. Each one, the company goes in themselves, they do their own investigation, and lo and behold, they come out and tell us that the product that's going to make them tens of billions of dollars isn't causing the issue that these people are complaining about. And that's the problem with the system. So you're right. Not only are we seeing anecdotal evidence of real issues with women who are receiving this vaccine, we also have world-renowned scientists that used to work at Pfizer telling you that if he had made this product, he is saying stop the trials immediately. Stop giving this product out immediately. It very well could be leading to an inability to give birth in the future. So there's two issues right there, right? You've got antibody-dependent enhancement. You have the potential to end your ability to bear children. And then there's Geert Vandenbosch, another scientist who worked for Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, head of the Ebola vaccine project at Gavi, which is the Global Alliance on Vaccines and Immunology. He's come forward just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he's saying, stop this vaccine immediately. It's going to create a deadly virus that we will never be able to stop. The vaccine doesn't stop infection. It doesn't stop transmission. So therefore, we are teaching the virus to become more deadly because we're creating incubators in everybody that's getting it to help the virus grow and become a monster. Now, these are all just theories, but they're theories from world-renowned scientists, and the safety studies haven't been done long enough to disprove or see if we have a way around these issues. That is the problem with rushing a brand new pharmaceutical technology that has never been injected into humans. What happens if Joe Biden gets his way? What happens if 200 million Americans receive a vaccine that we find out 1 year from now, lo and behold, anybody that comes in contact with the coronavirus might die? What happens if we find out that the 200 million Americans will never be able to give birth again? What happens if the 200 million Americans won't be able to defend themselves from any of the variants or the mutations because the vaccine made it deadly and then lost the ability to defend them? All of these are scientific theories. There's a probability it could happen, and yet we've never done the safety study to know if we're going to survive it. That's the state of America and the world.
So there are two more things I want to talk about, and the first is, why are they modifying the genetic structure of people now? That's not what a vaccine used to be. I mean, they literally had to change the definition of the vaccine in the dictionary to try to shoehorn in this gene therapy. So where is this headed? I mean, are they going to be continuing to monkey around with people's genes here in the future to make, you know, more resilient, more resistant human beings?
Well, the reason they're doing it is that it's fast. If this technology was to work, and let me make this clear, I'm not anti-science. At some point, if they perfect this technology, maybe it is the advancement of the future. But you don't take a technology, you don't mess with someone's DNA, or in this case, their mRNA, their messaging RNA. You don't mess with, you know, large groups of people until you've really seen what it does. And we haven't seen what this does. We've never been in human beings before. But the idea and the reason they're so excited about it is that, as you're pointing out, it's not a vaccine. We're not injecting a virus. We're not having to sort of grow a virus on something like an aborted baby, which is how we make the rubella in the MMR vaccine or the chickenpox vaccine or the shingles vaccine. That's all grown on an abort on the DNA and the tissue of aborted babies. We don't have to do it that any longer. That takes too long. You've got to grow the virus, and then you've got to try and attenuate it. You've got to try to make it in a way that the body will accept it. This technology is more like a computer code. They figure out the DNA code structure of the virus or the important part of the virus. And so basically you can sit at your computer, you figure out what that code is, and then they stick it into a fatty lipid and inject it into your body. And so for people that make vaccines, this would be the boom of all times. Now all the millions of bacteria and viruses that can attack you, we don't worry about them because our immune systems are so amazing at handling it all the time. But, you know, these people that want to play God would love to have a vaccine for every virus and every bacteria on the planet, millions and billions of them. Well, now they can make a vaccine in days, which is what they've just shown us. if all they have to do is write up a little DNA code, essentially in their computer, put it in a fatty lipid and inject it into your body. That's the dream, is nonstop vaccinations for everyone on the planet that make billions and billions and what will ultimately be trillions of dollars. So that's the why. The question is, will the technology be the end of humanity as we know it before we even perfect it?
Which brings us to the next thing. I mean, the coercion that is happening right now with the vaccine passports. We're seeing something coming out of Las Vegas right now that they're launching a vaccine passport. We're seeing these quotes from certain people that essentially you can not get the vaccine, but we're going to make it almost impossible for you to live in polite society. Where do you think this is headed? What are you hearing?
Well, I think that there will be many states and that will probably move into passports. I was just in Hawaii. I think if you want to visit Hawaii, you better do it immediately, because I think that they're going to really test this passport idea out there. I think we could see something really interesting where we may be moving into a civil war situation where conservative states like Florida, Ron DeSantis has said, no way, no how, vaccine passports are going to be illegal in my state. The governor of Missouri, I think, just passed a law, 24 to 10, there will be no passports in our state. And so you're going to see states that will say, absolutely no way are we taking this passport. And then you'll probably see California and New York and these other states that will pass the passport. And so what I think will be interesting is what will happen if you have states where they are not wearing masks, they're no longer locking down, they don't believe in passports, they're going to have the larger booming economy. They're going to have all of the business conventions. Their hotels will be booming. Florida will be where everyone wants to visit, where they get to be free. And New York is going to starve to death. And California is going to starve to death. So then what happens? Do they start passing laws that you can't go from, say, Texas into New York? I mean, this is the weird future that we could be stepping in. And remember, a vaccine passport, they're going to try and sell it as, well, it gives you freedom. Nothing gives me freedom except being born on this planet by God. Remember, we have inalienable rights. We are totally protected, not by our government. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights in our government is not to give us our rights. It's to keep our government from trying to impinge on our rights, which is exactly what is happening now. The idea that the government of the United States of America, or frankly, if they want to put it on businesses, are going to decide what is injected into my body and the bodies of my children so that I can breathe the air, so that I can go out dancing with my wife, so that we can go to church or to temple. And I just interviewed Naomi Wolf on my show this morning. And she said she wrote a book, The Death of America, and in it there was 10 steps. She said this passport, remember, she was advisor to Bill Clinton. She said this passport is the point of no return. It is number 10 in the book I wrote like 8 years ago. If we accept this, we have lost the dream of the United States of America.
So that brings up the follow-on question. What should people be doing about it right now in the last 5 minutes we got left?
You've got to stand up. I mean, what did our founding fathers do? What did, you know, the leaders of the civil rights movement do? What, you know, what has anyone ever done except say eventually enough is enough? I would rather stand and fight than die on my knees. This is the United States of America. Our founding fathers stood up against oppression and said, we are going to found a new country where the individual and the personal liberty and freedom is paramount, that no one dictates how we raise our children. No one dictates how we practice religion. And by the way, this vaccine, this idea of injecting yourself with bacteria and viruses or computer codes, that's a cult. That's a religion, especially when you're not even doing the safety studies to prove it. So you're allowed that religion. I'm not going to take your religion of injecting crazy things into your body, making yourself sick on purpose, to avoid an illness that 80% of us don't even know we have until we get a test. I'm not, you know, that's up to you. If you want to live in that crazy world, that's your religion. You can have it. But I live in a country that is a freedom of religion, and you are not allowed to inject insane products into me and my children because you think it makes you safer and that the only way it works for you is I have to do it too. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that's how your product works. I'm sorry that it demands my involvement, but I am not getting involved. What am I going to do? I'm going to say no. What am I going to do? I'm going to take off my mask because the science shows it does nothing except maybe give people a false sense of protection, and they're going to die if they're in a high-risk category. If you're not in a high-risk category, it's doing nothing except controlling you. We need to stand up. We need to, you know, Scott Atlas, who was the doctor that was in the last part of the Trump administration, a brilliant doctor out of Stanford, who is joined by about 50,000 world-renowned scientists and virologists around the world who have signed on to the Great Barrington Declaration, which basically says the lockdowns and the masks are the greatest scientific error in the history of mankind. I would add one more step. I believe this mass vaccination, as Geert Vandenbosch has said, will be the greatest colossal blunder in the history of mankind. I believe we're on the verge of mass casualties from this vaccine. You'll see it over the next year or two, and everyone that's been injected with it can't take it out of them. So what do? We find the information. We find the truth. We listen to shows like yours. We go to my website, thehighwire.com, and when you see videos that are having world-renowned scientists tell their truth, we don't let them get censored. We don't let Twitter and Facebook have the last word. We start sharing those videos with everyone we know. We start spreading the truth everywhere we go. And we start going to our state capitals and letting our representatives know, if you vote for a law that takes away my right to control my body, you will never be reelected again. I am here. I am present and accounted for. And the DNA of my forefathers that fought for freedom in this country to be a beacon of light and hope to the world. We're not signing on to the Great Reset. We are not going to become a part of the world order that puts China in charge. We are going to stand up and say, you better investigate that laboratory, because any decent scientist will tell you it looks like you released this thing. We're not going to pay the World Health Organization if they're going to side with China. All of these things, remember, at least in the United States of America, we still have the right to vote. We still have the right to free speech. And if we don't use it now, then all of it will be in our rearview mirror. It will be a dream that we will tell our grandchildren there was once a great nation where we were free to live our lives. Or we can stand up and say we were a great people, and we are a great people. And just like our founding fathers, we wrote history again. Remember, no history book has a page in it that said the fight was easy, we outnumbered them, the battle lasted about 35 minutes. Every page in every history book is filled with the blood and tears of patriots, of passionate people that stood up against insurmountable odds. Yes, we have a government that's out of control. We have passports being pushed. We have the greatest lobby in the history of the world in the pharmaceutical industry. We have the WHO and Bill Gates and every technocrat in the world that thinks they've already won this. But the King of England thought he'd won it too, and thought we would never, with our pitchforks and, you know, our muskets, be able to mount a charge strong enough. And they did. And we will. And there's hope. Because they have so overstepped their boundaries now that is obvious to anybody that has blood pumping through their veins. And if that blood has made it to your heart, stand up now and make a difference so that that story to our grandchildren will be those pages in our history books, those were written by us.
Amen. Dale Bigtree, thank you so much for joining me today on Patriot Radio. That was extremely well said. God bless you. Keep up the fight. And happy Resurrection Weekend as well.
Amen. God bless. Thank you.
All right. Dale Bigtree, ICANN. Check him out online. Also, Highwire. DellBigTree.com. And if you have not heard of Del Bigtree, go read him. That was incredible. Facts, hope, and freedom. Because that's what we believe in here in the United States of America. I find it fascinating that they're totally driven by fear, but if we stand up against them, they say we're driven by fear. Don't pay attention to what they're saying. Stand up now. Because our hope is not in man. Our hope is not in masks. Our hope is not in vaccines. Our hope is not in gene therapies. Our hope is not in more government. Our hope is not in more programs. Our hope is not in stimulus checks. Our hope is not in all of the other machinations that are out there. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And that ultimately is about summing up this weekend in those statements, that we put our trust in Jesus Christ, that we don't end in prayer, we move to action. And that when our children ask us 20 years from now, what did you do during the great crisis? We can either say we sat on the sidelines or we stood up and fought. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight, and happy Resurrection Day weekend.